The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the weekly podcast of the Financial Times that delves into the world of foreign exchange. I'm Roger Blitz, and this week has all been about the European Central Bank meeting, the rise of the euro, and the timetable of President Mario Draghi for taking the ECB's foot off monetary stimulus. With me to look at all of this is Max Kettner, cross-asset strategist at Commerzbank. Max, welcome. This time last week, the euro was about to break $1.20. We've had the meeting. That's where the euro still is. So what did we learn from what Mario Draghi told us?
Hello, Roger. I think what we learned is also what we see in the euro-dollar exchange rate right now. So we were breaking through the 120 temporarily. I think what the most significant thing that we learned, and there's really two parts about it, is one's a bit of a more hawkish element. The hawkish element being that inflation forecasts have only really been revised downwards, not really significantly, yes, but rather really only cosmetically.
Yes.
And the second bit, I think, was that he obviously said a lot of times, okay, FX, you know, the exchange rate is some kind of uncertainty and we're monitoring it closely. So contrary to, I would say, the last press conference, he mentioned it quite a few times.
Yes. Big question. Was he trying to talk down the euro?
I think partly he was, but I think the forecasts, the projections of the ECB are just simply not dovish enough for that to work. So I think when you look at the forecasts, both on a GDP and particularly on the inflation basis, that was by no means enough to talk the euro down. So, you know, you can obviously refer to the exchange rate. You can also refer to exchange rate volatility, what he has done, yes, which is higher, which actually is not really that true. Mm. It is off the lows. Let's just say it is not ultra low anymore.
No.
But there wasn't really exchange rate volatility. It's not about the volatility in FX markets,
yes,
at the moment. It's about the level of the euro, not about the volatility. So from that point of view, I think, yes, he was trying to talk it down a little. It didn't work simply because I think the projections didn't really back it up.
Yes, they talked about this horrible word, exogenous factors, which basically means anything not to do with the ECB or the eurozone, which could be as long and as broad as you want, I suppose. I mean, even just the fact that there are rumours about the euro and what the ECB might say could be interpreted as an exogenous factor. So it leaves the ECB quite flexible, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think it gives them the maximum leeway and the maximum flexibility. I think the word exogenous can be everything. Mm. Completely agree with you. It can be, you know, it can even be something like, oh, emerging market spreads are widening. Mm. Therefore, we think demand from EM is going to fall, and therefore we think GDP might not grow by such a rate that we expected than last meeting, for example.
Yes.
It might be everything. It might be even then, you know, some hurricane in the US is dampening growth in the US, and that might even feed through into the eurozone. It might be some geopolitically, it might be some global factors. We don't know, but it leaves them, as you said, it leaves them the maximum flexibility.
And there was lots of discussion you talked about preliminary discussions on the council about the October meeting, preparing for saying what they're going to do about asset purchases next year. Of course, you could turn around in next month and say, we're sticking to what we're doing. Did you get any hint that this is walking the market towards what the market is now expecting? You
know, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was pretty direct in saying, okay, it's going to be October where we learn most of the details. I think the preliminary was really for the market to take it as a hint, okay, it is going to be during the next meeting. I think the only really possible way that this is not going to be October is probably where you have, as we just discussed, some exogenous, really unexpected shock.
Mm. Which, let's stop using that word.
You know, but I think at the current stage, at the current juncture, we can't really foresee that.
No. Okay, so and therefore the market, if it's in control of the euro rather than the ECB being in control of it, where is it going to take the euro to?
I think so now we're around about 120, and I thought the initial reaction of euro was a bit too strong. Mm-hmm. I think just because we have, you know, just some cosmetic changes in the inflation projections, and still having Draghi to sort of trying to talk the euro down, and still euro was rising by more than 1%. I think that was a bit too much. But again, it was not only a euro picture. Mm-hmm. That is something we may not forget. I think what we are doing right now is we're only talking about the last couple of weeks. We're only really talking about the euro leg. There's a certain second leg, the dollar.
In actual fact, it may be quiet on the ECB front until that October meeting. Absolutely. And therefore other factors come into it. We have had a couple of very significant factors this week. Stanley Fischer has announced his resignation, and Hurricane Irma is possibly going to have a big impact on US numbers. What do you think of those two factors?
I think so. The first one, Stanley Fischer, is absolutely introducing another unexpected element of
this
uncertainty.
This is Janet Yellen's vice chair, the very hawkish member of the Fed. Yeah.
I think that's, again, a sort of unexpected element of uncertainty, which clearly the US dollar cannot need at the moment. That's something really which, you know, at sort of ultra lows in the US dollar index, this is something that is not going to help the dollar, obviously. Mm-hmm. It is just with also some other chairs of the FOMC not really being filled at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it is introducing another element of uncertainty. And the second one, from the data perspective, I think what we've seen today as well during the ECB press conference was, you know, we've had much, much, much larger number in unemployment claims in the US.
Right.
Initial unemployment claims because of the hurricane. That is something that obviously we also saw, for example, in 2005 with Hurricane Katrina, that we had a temporary spike in unemployment claims. We've had a temporary decline in consumer confidence. I don't think the market has that on the cards so far.
Not yet.
Yeah. And that is, again, it is introducing an element of uncertainty, an element of potential negative surprise for the US dollar leg, which sort of, you know, keeps the upside in the very, very short term of, let's say, the next couple of weeks, relatively limited, I think, for the US dollar.
The other big surprise this week was Bank of Canada. People expected them to go in October. That's when their next big monetary policy report was coming out. But here they went. They decided to go for another overnight rate rise. The question is, are they going to be proved right?
From an inflation perspective, that's going to be an interesting question, because obviously the much, much stronger Canadian dollar now is probably going to weigh on inflation.
Yeah.
And that is then a picture more for, let's say, 2018, because it needs time to feed it through. From a perspective of growth, and from a perspective that, you know, you have economies like the US economy, the Canadian economy, in Europe it's probably Sweden, on a much, much later stage of the cycle, it may prove to be right from, let's say, a perspective that they have some powder to cut rates before all the others can do, when they experience the first downturn. From an inflation perspective, purely from an inflation perspective, I'm not so sure whether that will prove right.
Right. Okay. It does feel like it's packed to school this week. Various Congress and various parliaments coming back as well. How was your August, by the way? Did you get away, or were you here most of the time?
I was here most of the time, sir. I was one of the poor ones at the desk.
For those who weren't around in August, what did we learn about what August did to the markets? What was your takeaway?
I think the takeaway, apart from these temporary spikes of, you know, equity volatility, particular because of North Korea, because of Trump, obviously. That is something that probably catches the eye first. So for those people who just come back to their desks, that's probably the first thing. Apart from that, I think what we have learned is, regarding those spikes in volatility, the magnitude of these spikes in volatility is much, much smaller. So much smaller than, let's say, a year ago, for example.
Yeah.
So let's say the temporary panic modes of markets are much less, you know, much less drastic and much more short-lived. That's one thing. And it tells you also what has worked over the summer. It basically tells you, when you have an environment where there is not substantial news for inflation, not substantial news for growth, both on the up or the downside, what you do as an investor from a cross-asset perspective, be it rates, be it FX, be it equities, Basically, you buy momentum. You look at what has worked since the start of the year.
Yep.
You look which at what you know, which is basically something like EM local debt,
yes,
which is something like some EM currencies. It's long euro, mm-hmm, obviously. So it's all these kind,
yes,
of trades. It's something like in the equity space, it is something like US equities long versus eurozone equities long, particularly driven from,
yes,
FX. But within the equities space, it's also something like large and small caps,
sure,
or value versus growth. Those are trends that have worked since the start of the year. And if there is no substantial change in the inflation or the growth picture from a global perspective, there is, as an investor, there is no real basis for changing a view.
Stick to what you know and what you see. My thanks to Max Kettner of Commerzbank. We'll see if that prevails next week when there's lots of data to digest and a Bank of England policy decision as well. Join us again for Hard Currency. Goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy. The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.